IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
Good morning to you. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Good morning if you have just joined us. You missed an interesting hour wherever you were. We had, quite an interesting conversation with Luke Ming Flanagan, who was this week vindicated after a former associate of his hacked his Twitter account, and really quite an insightful conversation in terms of how that impacted on him personally. Let's have a look at some of the comments coming in so far. Hello, Greg. Would you please thank Luke Ming for voting for the rural landowner of Ireland on the nature restoration? We will deal with the others in the coming elections, says John. Greg, let me remind you that the councillors were pushing to change the parking fees in Buncrana. It was People Power that won. Just repeat that. And it was made very clear that the council wanted one thing and the people wanted another. Hi, Greg. Thought there were camera signs where the speed vans were sitting. No signs on the road from Manor Roundabout to Newton, and the speed vans sitting there all the time. Okay. Can't understand, or are they still protesting about the farming matters? Why not? Why no one has come on or text about this man on your show this morning, chatting about flooding peatland and will be worthless, crazy stuff? Well, we had a full conversation on that yesterday. That's what I was referencing. To Luke Ming there. Vet Dr. Gerard Rorty was on for a good 20-25 minutes talking exactly about what you're talking about now. Hi, Greg. I was just reading the official literature regarding the referendum. The proposal for the family amendment should be withdrawn and be brought back to the table for review, as there's no definition for durable relationships. All that would happen is endless court cases arguing this point, with all of us picking up the tab and those in the legal arena making a fortune. And we all know how quick a court case is here. That comes in from Peg. Thank you. Michael McDougall will be on the show a little later on. Of course, he's advocating a no-no. And he's going to be talking to us as to why. So that's coming up on the programme a little later on, after 11 o'clock, in fact. And just a couple of requests. Can you wish Clodagh Doherty, Laddin Kindrum, a happy 8th birthday today from her aunt, uncles, nanny, granddad and cousins in Westport, County Mayo? Enjoy your day, Clodagh. And hi, could you please play a very special request for Mrs. Sweeney, 3rd and 4th class from Clonmany National School. They're heading away on a fab trip today to Dublin Zoo. Hope they all have a great time and enjoy every minute. Lots of love from all the mummies and the daddies. Now, as we've been mentioning to you all this week, the Brunswick Movie Bowl in Derry, Londonderry, is hosting the Fundamania Fairground from the 1st of March till the 17th of March. And we're giving you the chance to win incredible family passes for a day of unlimited fun and excitement. And we're giving two passes away each day this week. To be in with a chance of winning this fantastic prize today, you have to identify this town. And there are three clues. Twin Towns, Finn's Bridge, Sporting Spirit. Twin Towns, Finn's Bridge, Sporting Spirit. Now, I hope this doesn't cause a row. I have an answer here in front of me. If it matches, if you match that, well done. Text your answer, your name and where you're from to 086 60 25000. You can WhatsApp that number too. So what town am I talking about? Twin Towns, Finn's Bridge, Sporting Spirit. Text your answer, your name and where you're from to 086 60 25000. It is free to WhatsApp, and for most of you, free to text with your text bundles and what have you. So you're being told that you are to get ready to be swept away by the greatest fairground extravaganza you'll ever encounter. From heart-pounding roller coasters to adrenaline-pumping bumper cars, they have it all. You can go yourself, but two of you will be going, thanks to us here at Highland Radio, two families. Right, your voice, your community, a new Thursday feature coming up after the break. Rightio, some comments here. I have a 5-bedroomed house and decided to call for help to the Ukrainian war. I would rent out two of my bedrooms. I get €800 a month for three of them. So three bedrooms given up in the house, €800 a month. Yesterday, I went to renew my house insurance, €745. At the minute, I said, oh, by the way, I've got three Ukrainians staying with me. And she said, oh, that's a different story. So my house insurance renewal is now €1,980. So I called the group who I have the agreement with of hosting these Ukrainians with, and they said there was no additional funds to cover this cost for me. I didn't pay it and I'm wondering what to do. I can't afford to pay it and I can't afford not to. Can anyone offer me some advice? Okay, so this is a person that answered the call, gave up a few of their rooms. They're only getting €800 a month. And when I say only, they have to cover all the heating costs, the electricity costs. Now, it's, I presume, those living with them can contribute if they wanted to, but I believe they don't in this case. So because they're hosting these families, their insurance has gone up to effectively €2,000 bar €20. And people they have the agreement with to host the Ukrainian says, look, that's on you. There's nothing we can do about that. So that's bother shouting 3 months of the money. And that's just on one bill, house insurance. Anyone out there, any advice for this person? I would imagine probably starting to rethink. I don't know, but probably starting to rethink the situation. Right, we were covering the story of the blood room in Letterkenny University Hospital yesterday, and we're continuing to pursue that story till its conclusion. As you might know, the head of that unit has informed consultants, GPs, that because of a pressure on space, and it's only space, not staff or equipment, that they can't guarantee that all samples will be seen during their working day. And if the sample isn't analysed on that day, then it becomes unsuitable for analysis. This has created a lot of concern for people that are reliant on regular blood tests and what have you, be it cancer patients or whatever. I mean, it's a diagnostics tool, but it also keeps a track on certain things in your blood that are cancer indicators. And we certainly don't want to add to anyone's distress, but we can't ignore this story either. The powers that be were asked to provide extra space. Proposals on how they might do it were given to them, but to no avail. This caller says, I'm a cancer patient and I often get bloods done to see if I'm suitable for treatment. Does this news this morning mean my treatment could be delayed if my bloods won't be done on one day? Perhaps it does. Right, I'm going to quickly take this out break to clear the decks for our next item. It's, as I mentioned, your voice, your community. And we have a couple of guests in studio, two members of our community and their own as well. That's coming up after these 2 minutes. Rightio, you're very welcome back to the programme. And we're into a new item here on a Thursday. It is your voice, your community. And delighted to welcome Anne Friel into studio. Hiya, Anne.
Good morning, Craig.
It's great to have you with us. And also we've got Pamela Colotti, Family Links worker with Donegal Travellers Project. Have I got your pronunciation correct?
Yeah, Pamela Colotti.
Colotti. Listen, yeah. Thanks both of you for calling in. You've been on the radio before. And Pamela, this is your first time.
It is, yeah.
So I've strict instructions to go very easy on you. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, we really appreciate you calling in to us. Right, okay. And our focus is on members of the traveller community. Pamela, Family Links worker with the Donegal Travellers Project. And through this item, we just want people to learn a little bit more about people maybe they have preconceptions of, they have notions of, they have biases to, maybe they don't, maybe they have no understanding, maybe they don't care. So we want to use these this Thursday afternoon or this Thursday morning to sort of learn a little bit more. Pamela, talk to us a little bit about your early life.
My early life?
Yeah.
Okay, so I suppose my early life, growing up at school, I suppose it was a place I didn't really feel like, I was, I suppose, a sense of belonging, per se. So when I was 15, I had just completed my junior cert and I left school. And I suppose I didn't really like growing up at school, you know. Like that, you know, when we were younger, there was a lot of racism and discrimination. And look, it's no, do you know what I mean? It's nothing new, really. So I suppose, you know, those years were a bit difficult. But of course, I mean, there was loads of good times as well, too, you know. Family, in our culture, family is very strong, very close, you know. So we did have that, which was great growing up.
Mm. Did you have friends in the settled community? Or did you always feel outside of it?
A lot of the time I would have felt outside of it. I did have friends, but they were normally from other cultures. I did have friends within, you know, the settled community as well.
But the kinship was other minorities?
Yeah. I was very young, my closest friend actually would have been from another minority, yeah.
Yeah, okay, interesting. And you left school at 15. At 15, we're so young at 15, aren't we? But was it like, did you feel you had to or did you feel that that was what would make you happy? I'm just trying to put myself in the mind of a 15-year-old Pamela and, you know, ambitious, but at the same time, is this, you know, will life allow me to do maybe what I want to do? How did you feel with that decision?
Yeah, well, I suppose, like I said, I didn't really like school, so sort of for me, I couldn't really wait to get out of there.
I left at 15 too, so we'll tell no one that.
Okay. So I couldn't really wait to get out of there. But like that, I was ambitious and I did want to do more with my life, but it was never something I felt that I'd ever really achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose, so I left, but what I did do was I had gone to a travel training centre where I completed my Leaving Cert Applied. And just being in a space with my own community was such, like, I mean, I did complete my Leaving Cert there and I had committed to it, you know. And it just, it was such a big difference for me. I suppose I felt more inclusive, you know, included. I'm with my own community, you know, and I suppose it was easier to thrive in that space.
Third level.
Yes. So third level, as you know, I've only just completed.
And congratulations, by the way, very significant.
Yeah, so it took me many years to get there. But after I completed my Leaving Cert Applied, I didn't go back to school or into any third level education. So I came away from that and I became a mum at 20. But a few years after I had my baby, Donegal Travellers Project had got in touch and they had women's groups.
Mm-hmm.
So I started going to the women's groups there, and that was where I really started my journey. I suppose watch my peers like Anne and the others, you know, watch.
And was
them.
It, you know, we often say, you know, if you can see, you can be it, or if you have the right influence. Was it as simple as that, that you had sort of horizons open to you by seeing what Anne and others were achieving?
Yeah, I did. But as well, too, like that growing up, I never, I was oblivious to a lot of, I suppose, I mean, we knew that there was race discrimination. You feel it. There's a sense of it. But I wasn't 100% aware of it by the time I started the women's group. But there we learned more about it. It raised a lot of awareness, you know, and it really opened my eyes to how much our community has to endure, I suppose, on a daily basis. And that kind of gave me that passion and that desire to want to start community work. So it was watching my peers, but it was also that awareness raising as well.
And as remarkable as your achievement is, it's fantastic, but it is remarkable because so few members of the travelling community, and I'd probably guess even less women than men, actually be able to go on to complete their third level education.
Yeah. So I think
We need to get to a point where it's not a story.
Yeah, there is, Craig, but you know what? We know that only 1% of our community was on a third level education. But we do see a change slightly, but change is happening. You know, we do have doctors within the community who are academic doctors, few, but they do exist. And it's very rarely where you get a member of the travel community going from primary to secondary straight on to third level. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. It does exist, but it's rare. Very often, you know, this 1% is made up of people who maybe goes back to a travel organisation, starts doing community education and looks at, you know, you've a group of people that wants to invest time and energy into and support you to produce your carry on your education. And a lot went back as adults through third level education. So that 1%, yes, there is people that goes through primary to second to third, but there's mostly made up of people going through travel organisations, getting a feel of community education and want to carry on to third level education.
And why is the number so low in your view, Anne?
The numbers are so low because, you know, and people say, oh, it's, you know, it's one shoe fits all. But systems are set up. If you don't blend in, you know, if you blend in, it's fine. But if you
tough when
out,
you're young and you don't feel you belong.
You know, my own journey is not anywhere more unique as Pamela's. We're all quite similar to education. I was born and raised in Donegal. And my family would be nomadic through the summer months. I left school at the age of 13. And the experiences that I had, and I'm talking about early 90s, leaving, I went on to secondary school in this county and the experience was quite negative. Experience of primary school was quite negative. So when children were in having learning, traveller children were brought out to the schoolyard to lift the rubbish after the break time. Traveller children were, I'm talking about myself, were using the projector when the Irish language was being spoken and taught, cleaning the blackboard. So that kind of left us at a disadvantage. And there's a notion there that, oh, should travellers drop out of school? We don't go to education. I went to school. I was sent to school by my parents. It was obligation of the state, the obligation of the school to ensure I had equal taught as other children, and that just wasn't the way.
And you've talked about how you were treated by the institution, mm-hmm. but how as a national, can you remember as a national school child, mm-hmm. how were you treated by other children?
Terrible.
Now, reason I want to mention that, and then you can go on from here, we aren't born with any prejudice, okay? We aren't born with the sickness. A brown person is different, or a member of the travelling community is different, right? So the language or the attitude had to have been picked up at home.
Yeah. So 100% right. You know, there's nobody born a racist, and children pick things up. And when you're used to being in a tight-knit community, and as Pamela said, the people you played with was members of your own community. And you knew at the age of 5 or 6 when you heard the first word of knack or gypsy, it was in the schoolyard. And you'd go home and say, what does that mean? Like, what is that?
Can you imagine being the parent and the child coming home to say
and
that
I,
to
And I
you
was
as well.
One of them children.
Because what do you say?
Yeah, like, what does that mean? And for years and years, as a community, we know, you know, this is the way it was. You remember the travel community. This is the way life was. We didn't know it was racism. We didn't know it was discrimination because there was nobody there to talk about it. But when Donegal Travellers Project opened up, and Donegal Travellers Project is 27 years in existence this year, it gave us as an opportunity as a community, and especially with travel women, to come together and to talk in a safe space and to analyse challenges that we were facing mm-hmm. as women and as travel women within society. And that's where we got educated in relation to racism, discrimination, prejudice and bias and stereotypes that we were facing. And back before a movement was even existed in Ireland, there is a travel movement out of Ireland and there's a travel organisation. Travel parents and people in the community just took it. That's the way it was. And we just had accepted as a community of oppressive behaviour onto us as a community.
Pamela, you are Family Links working with Donegal Travellers Project. Even with your degree, do you think you do you think you'd have difficulty finding work elsewhere?
Yeah, I would feel. I mean,
great as this achievement is, it's still tarnished to some extent.
I mean, you do, and I suppose it's like that. I suppose it's even like growing up, I didn't have a lot of, I suppose, self esteem or belief in myself. So, you know, even to go for an interview, that idea that you'd feel uncomfortable in that space or you'd feel like you were treated differently, you know, and I suppose that expectation for yourself as well, too. So I suppose like the idea of going for an interview elsewhere, it's frightening, you know, especially when you're so used to being excluded from society. Yeah. So even though you may not be, it's still going to be hard to walk into that space thinking that you might be. Yeah. Do you know?
We do because know, Craig, that 83% of our community are unemployed. And there is myths out there about the travel community and in relation to employment.
Well, let's talk about them because, you know, the whole part of this conversation is to dispel myths. Mm. Right, so some of the myths would be...
We're lazy.
Lazy. Well, I'm not saying I'm copying what you said. But my point is that, you know, no interest in education... Yeah. Unemployable, disproportionately responsible for crime, that type of stuff. Even in recent conversations, you can kind of hear, how do I describe this? Sometimes when warnings are being put out, it feels like we're talking, not by me, it feels like in a roundabout way we're talking about the traveling community. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, and this is maybe from people that should know a little bit better, So,
but if you
about those myths.
You know, the reality is, you know, as a community, you know, and a travel community in Ireland, you know, we are indigenous to this country. And, you know, the experience of race and discrimination still exists for many travellers for us. Things are changing, yes, but that is still the lived experience of travellers. And you have to, you know, acknowledge and for society to know. I'm not saying all society are racist and discriminatory because they're not, but there's still the experience. If you look at the inequalities experienced by travellers, look at the suicide rates our community experience.
We'll get into that because also life expectancy.
But back to unemployment, 84% of our community is unemployed, and research has been done with the Community Foundation of Ireland back in 2017. So they surveyed a number of travellers and they surveyed a number of non-travellers, and 83% of employers said that they would not employ a traveller
What percentage?
83%. And then you talk about Pamela, qualification about getting a job. And then 75% said they would not work with a traveller. Now, that's not research we done as a travel organisation. This was the Community Foundation of Ireland's data. And they're quite shocking statistics still. You know, I know it's 6 year old, that is the lived experience. So this notion about travellers of getting employment, and if you look across Ireland, you know, how many travellers in our organisation in Donegal, we have 30 staff in DTP and 85% are members of the travel community in professional jobs and funded through different departments. Across Ireland, there's 27 primary healthcare projects set up, and we've one in Donegal that are made up of members of the travel community out working in the area of health. Travellers want to work, want to get educated, but there's a notion out there that we don't. And having a school where you if you don't blend in, but if you stand out, it's not a place for you, which is unacceptable in this day.
If there was a study done, and it found that 85% of employees do not want to employ someone with a disability, there would be outrage. There would be, because you would say, well, why not? You know, you'd be, well, what is the issue there? That's completely unacceptable. Yet it's important we have studies like that, but that's a percentage that really needs to be challenged. There's something seriously amiss there, because obviously a lot of it's perception. It can't be all experience, because it's 1.5% of the population's members of the travelling community?
Yes, over 1%.
Just over 1%. It's less now than the Ukrainian population. Yeah. That's how small the population of the travelling community is in Ireland. So a lot of it's perception. It can't be experience or reality, because there simply aren't enough.
And there is an organisation. We've got an employment officer who is a member of the settled population, but also a member of the travel community, and they're funded on they work under the local development company, but based in DTP. And there is things as changes slowly for individuals, but we need to look more than individuals, you know, of creating opportunities, employment and training, and that is working well. And many of the people benefit from that service. But we need to look more of a collective, what is going on as a collective, as a group of community. You know, over 40,000 travellers living in Island Ireland, what is going on? And to make change as a collective level. There is good work going on in relation to employment and travellers going into different like safe passes and lorry, getting lorry licence, and they are positive elements. But we need to be more investment into looking at travellers and employment.
There's something I kind of want to tease out here, and I just wonder if maybe, Pamela, we've learned a little bit more about ourselves over the last number of years, and maybe, you know, members of the travellers community might be saying, well, we told you so, in that we are seeing an awful lot of certain types of language and discrimination against many, many different groups now. And it seems to be okay to say it out loud, right? And I just wonder, does that really reflect on us as a society, that it's not necessarily discrimination against travellers, and that's not in any way to diminish that, by the way. This is just a question. But really, it's if you're not settled, white, man, straight, do you know what I mean? That there's lots of other groups that fall outside of those demographics that are feeling what members of the travelling community are feeling now. Yeah. Be it as a woman, be it as a person of colour, you know, be it as a member of the LGBTQI, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do we have a problem in this country actually with anyone who's not Indigenous Irish, settled and white?
Well, I think we have, because just when you talk about that, you know, the reality of, you think of the 10 grounds under the Equal Status Act, you know, at the moment, Donegal Travellers Project and then the Culture Platform has formed together, and we've created this group of Donegal Network Against Racism. And that is a group of different ethnic minority groups coming together to look at the challenges faced by ethnic minorities in Donegal. There's a notion in Donegal where race and discrimination doesn't exist, but that's not the lived experience of ethnic minority groups, including travellers and the Roma community. And this group will look at being strategic around challenges faced by ethnic minority groups in this county, but also we're looking, Donegal Travellers Project does have an initiative called the Intercultural Training Team, where we do interculturalism and anti-racism work. And this is what broadening that. So we will look from even different ethnic minority groups will become trainers. We're looking to do a number of campaigns through Social Inclusion Week, but also even into the local elections.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be a strategic forum.
And I don't want to be negative in relation to that, but just to sort of tease out my point a little bit more, you've talked of how few members of the travelling community are can find work, right? But we'd have, say, another minority of immigrants into the country, you know, they could be black or wherever they're from. They're working in throughout healthcare. They're working in all the many of the factories that we have around here, or call centres, whatever it might be. And yet they're starting to see an increase of discrimination against them. And it just you just wonder, where are we at, and how high is how tough that journey for the travelling community might be when we've got another minority who are, you know, more integrated in society, you could argue, and they're actually seeing an increase in discrimination. Does that make sense, Anne?
I think so.
Or Pamela?
Yeah, I think social media has a lot to do that with that as well too. Like, I mean, if you look at the far right and social media and stuff like that, there's a lot of negative, I suppose, media and stuff.
I see
like
some of the words that
there.
You use, casually used in those circles, derogative terms for members of the travelling community. So it's just like...
But if you look at the experience of black people and look at the experience, look at the IPAS centres, look what's been happening around Ireland in relation to burning of buildings. Yeah. You know, for me to sit here and talk about the experience of black people would be unfair. But what I can talk about is about human rights and equality. And people from other ethnic minority groups have challenges. But when it comes to the travel community, there's an acceptance of subtle racism. I don't discriminate, or I'm not a racist, but and for us from the travel community, there is no hierarchy of people who experience oppression. It's about working together in solidarity, and we do that through the Intercultural Platform, and it's building on that as a movement of people who experience similar challenges with living in Irish society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it just seems, and it's not unique to Ireland, the more, and this is not to judge everyone with the same, this is not to say this is reflective of all society, but the more sort of nationalist a country gets, and we've seen it right across Europe, it means that the more discrimination and what have you that we tend to see. Now, I'm not saying that's countrywide, but... So, Pamela, talk to me about you know your culture. What do you feel? What do you love particularly about your culture, or just to sort of help us understand your life as a traveller woman a bit more?
Yeah, well, I suppose I'd have to say the thing that I love most about my culture is family. It's mm-hmm. definitely that sense of family, that closeness. We're all, you know, we're very, very close. Family means so much to all of us. I love our shared history as well, and our heritage. You know, when we go back, we all have a shared history of nomadism, music, storytelling, especially storytelling. You know, travellers weren't, you know, there wasn't great literacy and stuff, so storytelling was such a big thing.
A lot of it was...
It was passed down through
word of
mouth. And I mean, that's what, like, you know, I would have learned. Like, I remember growing up, and my dad, you know, would sit down and tell us all the stories about when he grew up, you know, and he'd talk about the horses and things like that, you know, and it's just so lovely storytelling and stuff.
And
so
the SAC Initiative, is that a story that you've created or one that was passed to you?
Sorry?
The SAC Initiative?
Oh, the Story SACs. Yeah, so last year, the ETB had come to Donegal Travellers Project, and they were looking to do a collaboration piece with Donegal Travellers Project and the library. And they were talking about the Story SAC initiative. So we all came together, and as Family Links worker, I took lead out on that project. Initially when it started, you know, the idea of it was to create an inclusive space within the library, you know, where traveller children could go in and feel that there was a space for them, you know, that spoke about their culture, their history, their heritage, but also that other children could also learn a little bit about, you know, traveller culture as well. And as well, they wanted to build on their literacy as well. So we started out, and we had 19 women in total. So we had 11 in South Donegal area, and we had 8 in Letterkenny. So the ambition was to develop a story sack, one non-fiction book and a fiction book. So they did, and they had very little time. They had 7 weeks to do this book, and they did absolutely amazing. So for the first 5 weeks, they talked about their own stories and stuff like that, and they made their non-fiction book, which was specifically, you know, unique to them. And then on, I think it was week 5 or so, they all came together with their individual stories and created a children's storybook from that. And it went into the sack along with toys, puzzles, that, you know, represent the story, but are also, you know, that have cultural aspects in them as well, that children can play with when they open these sacks. So they're absolutely amazing. They were launched in November. They were launched in Letterkenny Library and Ballyshannon Library. So the story sacks now sit in Letterkenny and they also sit in Bundoran. But it got much bigger than that, which with the woman and ourselves hadn't expected. We got nominated for a National Aintis Award, which is going to be next week now on the 8th of March. So fingers crossed that the woman, that I bring the award home to the woman. So it got much bigger. We have another, I duplicated 20 sacks and they kind of have gone out around to different organisations. Three of them as well are in the other three big district libraries in Donegal. To Donegal County Childcare Committee, they had bought 200 copies of each book and they have been getting them out across all the early learning year services, which is absolutely fabulous as well too. So it's great to have children's storybooks there for that age group that represent our represent our culture. But I suppose I felt it was like when the ETB game came, like I just thought this is a great initiative. You know, it's storytelling, it's right up the street, it's our culture, it's, you know, travellers love to tell their stories and love to talk. And you really did get a sense of that when you were in the room with the women. You know, they did. They loved telling their
stories.
Well,
it's hard not to with your enthusiasm. I mean, you'd drag a story out of a stone, I think, Pamela. Some messages coming in. Leah Friel, well done, Anne and Pamela. Molly says, great interview with these two, especially wee Pamela. Which that gave me a giggle too. I'm glad you got that as well. It's great to hear two members of the travelling community speaking. Anne Freely studying a master's and a fantastic role model. DTP turn great women accredited courses that proves there are opportunities like Pamela. And they have the opportunity to move on to third level. Two truly inspiring women. Great to see Pamela and Anne this morning. Well done on all you're doing and continuing to achieve for travellers and for all ethnic minorities across the county. Well done to Pamela and Anne speaking for our community. Hope to hear more of this from those brilliant women. Great show, listening to two inspirational women on the show this morning. Congratulations, both of you, on your recent academic achievements. Just referencing what Pamela said, Anne, about culture and celebrating a culture. There's a lot of people are threatened that they believe Ireland's culture is threatened by other people celebrating their cultures. Mm-hmm. And the traveller culture is the Irish culture as well, but some would try and separate and feed that out. I mean, are you of the view, Anne, that, you know, we need to have space for people, obviously, to integrate and live in Ireland, but also to be able to freely and comfortably celebrate and talk of their culture without it being seen as a almost anti-Irish or something along those lines.
As a negative term. Mm. And then very often we're asked, you know, what is travel culture? And culture modernised with time, like Irish culture, and travel culture has done that. We're placing ourselves as an organisation in this county, Travel Prize coming up for coincidence.
When's that coming up?
It's the national one is the 20th to the 27th of May, and then the local one is on the 27th to the 30th. And what we're doing, we're bringing the Living History Project to Donegal Town, and we're working with the arts and culture arts worker in the Donegal County Council, and we're looking to have the Living History Project, which highlights the historical ways of living with the traveller community, the heritage, the culture, and that will be on display for members of the public on the 30th in Donegal Town. And even working with Donegal County Council, the arts and culture arts worker there, it shows you the collaboration work, and we're looking forward to that happening in that area. There's a number of events coming up over the next couple of weeks as well. But relating to our culture, you know, we are indigenous to Ireland. You know, people shouldn't feel threatened because people have their own culture. We have different religions and different religious groups in Ireland and always had, and people shouldn't feel threatened. But it's just to respect our culture. You know, we live in a community where we face a number of challenges. We want to live, we want to strive as a community, we want to get educated as a community, we want to ensure that our children have the same equality of outcomes and equality of access. And this is what the travel organisation is about. Mm-hmm. We're a human rights organisation, and we're working towards achieving that as well.
But a big step in that direction, I think, regardless of anyone's background or culture, is an understanding and better integration, be it in the workplace. And we've seen that the hurdle that would have to be overcome for that, but also just in general society. It's a couple of years now. I don't know, with COVID, everything's thrown out in terms of timelines, that Ireland granted ethnic minority recognition to Irish travellers. And I think that was seen as sort of this new dawn.
Yeah.
Not an awful lot came following on from that, really.
Yeah. And, you know, that was a historical day for the traveller community, you know, and it didn't happen overnight. This was a movement, you know, the traveller movement lobbying and advocating for the recognition of travellers' ethnicity. But what it did bring, it brought a sense of pride and identity, especially to our younger generation, because it's not easy being a member of the travel community, living in Irish society, especially a young person.
Did it bring a sense of belonging as well?
A sense of belonging and a sense of recognition and a sense of pride, you know, and identity to our community. And it will take time. It will take time for such a marginalised community to see the impact in that in the future. But that will take time, Craig.
I would certainly see now with my daughter growing up, I would certainly see that sense of belonging, that pride, you know, compared to when we were younger. Like, she's very open about being a traveller.
Do you
she's,
see her future being brighter?
I would have to say I definitely
isn't that
do.
A
and that's
thing,
what
isn't
I
it?
Suppose that's what we're here to do. That's what we hope to achieve, is to try for that.
Yeah. And, you know, the reality of it is, you know, back, you know, when I grew up, people didn't question the system. The system was, this is the way you were treated because who you were.
This
you
is know. Going back to the cleaning the projectors, the blackboards, the cleaning the yard as a child.
Yeah, so I have four children and they're all adults now who's done quite well in education. One's a doctor and a lecturer, an academic doctor in social health out in ATU. I've got three daughters that went through, two of them went through and done their degree in health and social care in ATU. I have one daughter who is dyslexic and didn't want to go through third level education, but I was support and she went through community education and she's a qualified healthcare assistant. But that didn't come because I wanted it. This came because, we wanted to pursue our children, to make sure they had a good future ahead, but there was challenges. And because myself...
Yeah, but they had you, Anne, as well, too.
I
was going to say, like, come here. Don't do yourself a disservice here. They had you there,
of
you
course,
know.
But if that was 30 years ago and the teacher or the institution said, this is not the right place for your child, our parents would have took that and said, right, they're the experts. But there was challenges for my children when they were growing up within the education system. There was challenges around getting employment. You know, the words gypsy knacker existed. But they were barriers that we had to overcome. And I think it was because where me and my husband was placed, we were working in a travel rights organisation. We knew how to challenge it. We stood up and challenged it. And that's what gave them the will, to the pathway to move on. But there's monies.
Yeah, but you're also too, with the path that you've created, and then, you know, with your influence on Pamela, and Pamela being obviously a very strong, independent woman in herself, and then you passing on that down to your daughter, you can see how things can change.
There is definitely.
You know what I mean? So,
but there's challenges.
There's a link
between
what, of course there is, but you challenging that system with your husband is hopefully, directly or indirectly, leading to a more positive future for Pamela's daughter. So we can change things.
Oh,
it's really what I'm saying. I know I know that really, if there's institutionalized biases against the travelling community, you can't always fight them, and you don't want to spend your life fighting them. And I think that's the point you're making, but you did, and maybe that's what will change things going
you
forward.
You have to, and that's what, you know, when you look at the organisation we work with, we're there to about improving and working with services and working with institutions to ensure that the traveller have equal access, but not just equal access, equal outcome. And we know that's not the case across a lot of measures in the Irish society. I could have easily said, you know, as a mother, you know, to my children when they were coming home, maybe upset or saying this happened to them, right, that's it, I'm taking you to education. You know, so people think when you go through the education system and you succeed, things were okay for you. Well, no matter, they weren't okay. There were a lot of challenges and a lot of barriers.
Exactly. Yeah, we have to, we have to, you know, if it's there, talk of the positives, but not paint an unrealistic reality either. there's lots of other things that we could have gotten into, but I do we do speak about them quite regularly here on the show. We wanted really just to hear from you, Anne, and you, Pamela, and whatever you wanted to talk about or how you ever wanted to talk about it. Really appreciate it. We've had a really positive response coming in on text and on our social media as well. So, Anne Friel, Assistant Manager, Primary Healthcare Coordinator with the Donegal Travellers Project, thank you.
Thank you very much.
So much. It's been lovely having you. And Pamela, you were supposed to be the nervous one, were you? I don't know what they put in the tea across the road. If this is nervous, I wouldn't like to see you when you're confident. But really, that's my roundabout strange way of saying you were fantastic, Pamela.
Thank you very much.
And you
much.
Did really, really well, and we really appreciate it. Pamela Colotti?
Colotti.
Yeah. Family Links worker with the Donegal Travellers Project. The SAC initiative, everything crossed, fingers, eyes, toes, the whole lot. Hopefully you'll bring it back home.
Yeah.
We really appreciate your time. Best wishes to you and your family going forward. And Anna, again, thank you so very much indeed. Okay, that was your voice, your community. And those were the excellent Anne Friel and Pamela Colotti. See, by the fifth time you're on, I'll have it down to a T. All right, we'll be back with more after these.